long legs stretched out across the hearth. Long into the watches of the night, I heard the slow, melancholy wailing of his violin. Face and limbs hideously contorted. The floor and walls of the room are spattered with blood. There are no wounds on his body. The scarlet thread of murder runs through the colorless skein of life, and our duty is to unravel it and isolate it and expose every inch of it.
A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. A Study in Scarlet, Part 2, The Country of the Saints.
After much fruitless racking of my brain, I had finally discovered that my new fellow lodger, Sherlock Holmes, a man of singular talents, enthusiasms and areas of ignorance, was in fact what he termed a consulting detective. I have it in me, he told me modestly, to make my name famous. All he lacked was the proper opportunity. I was convinced, though Holmes was not, that this opportunity had at last arrived with the invitation by no less a personage than Inspector Tobias Gregson of Scotland Yard to investigate the bizarre murder of one Enoch J. Drebber. On the day following the killing, the papers were full of the Brixton mystery.
Listen to this one. The German name of a murdered man, the absence of all other motive, and the sinister inscription, Raka, Revenge, written upon the wall, all point to political refugees and revolutionists, the socialists of many branches in America.
Don't tell me. The Daily Telegraph.
A very good, Watson. The piece also mentions the Weingericht, Aqua Tofana, the Carbonari, the Marchioness de Brinvilliers, the Darwinian theory, the principles of Malthus, and the Radcliffe Highway murders. What do you have?
The Standard. Lawless outrages of this sort usually occur under a liberal government. They arise from the unsettling of the minds of the masses and the consequent weakening of all authority.
Very true.
And some new facts.
Oh, good heavens.
The deceased was an American gentleman.
Oh, that hardly new. Even Lestrade and Gregson discovered that.
Who had been residing at the boarding house of Madame Charpentier in Camberwell with his private secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson. So, the mysterious Stangerson has been identified.
Someone's been busy. Probably Gregson. We are glad to learn that Mr. Gregson and Mr. Lestrade of Scotland Yard are both engaged on the case. It is confidently anticipated that these two well-known officers will speedily throw light on the matter.
Which one's that?
Daily News. I told you that whatever happened, those two would be certain to score.
Nah, that depends on how it turns out.
Oh, bless you. It doesn't matter in the least. If the man is caught, it'll be on account of their exertions. If he escapes, it'll be in spite of their exertions. A fool can always find a bigger fool to admire him, as the old French poet said.
Holmes?
My dear fellow?
You seem highly delighted by that telegram this morning. What was in it?
Oh, there. The name of the murderer. Should we order some more toast?
Mr.
Holmes. Mrs. Hudson, have you added mind reading to your many other accomplishments?
Mr. Holmes, I really must suggest. What do you think you're doing inviting me?
Come on, Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Holmes, in all my years, I have never witnessed such a display.
Silence in the ranks. Mrs. Hudson, may I present the Baker Street Division of the Detective Police Force?
Oh, yes.
In future, you must wait in the street Wiggins, you can come up alone for report.
Yes, sir.
Now, was there anything else, Mrs. Hudson?
There was not.
Right. Have you found it yet?
No, sir, we ain't.
Well, you must keep on until you do.